Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, everyone. Great comprehensive announcement. I just want to clarify, the 8th grandchild is not from me. If you see me put on, it's just a food baby, okay? So don't congratulate me. Okay, with that out of the way, I shall start. We are in the middle of DMM, and today's topic is service. What does it mean to serve? Now, we all have a serving story. At some point, we started serving, maybe in another church, maybe even in this church. For me, in this church, I think it started about 7 years ago, or six, about there. I stood on this stage for the first time, and I think I was sharing about how I've been blessed through serving in the migrant ministry. At the time, we taught English to Myanmar's church. So I was sharing about how, yeah, I've been blessed, and how sometimes we have to sacrifice something. And at the time, what my sacrifice was, which was so great to me, was my precious Sunday afternoon nap. And now, many years later, when Sunday naps are now a distant dream, I chuckle at how big a sacrifice it seemed at the time. But we all start somewhere, right? So as I get to know the church better and the community better, I observe so many serving stories, and I'm often in awe of people I meet who have a great heart of service. When I stepped into my role as a ministry worker, I kind of inherited this great team, serving in both the children's ministry and Impact Youth. Inherited this team of Impact Youth facilitators who week in, week out would come in on Saturdays and befriend the young people, generally care about their lives and want to be involved with them. I also had the privilege to work with Sunday school teachers who have been serving way before I was born and still do it with so much compassion and love. And my work is a joy because of the amazing team I have. And I feel like service is more often caught than taught. And it's such a joy to see. Yesterday in Impact, we also ran a session on service, and it was a joy to see just a row of young people, some are working adults, some are still in school, just sharing on how their faith has been shaped through service as well. Sorry, EGN, you got cut off at the side. but yes, I really can see how the young people grow through their service, and I'm sure it's the same for us as well. So, what does it mean to serve? Is it ministry? Is it assistance? Is it hospitality? We surveyed some of the people in PJEFC who serve, so let's watch a video to hear some of their serving stories.
Hi there, my name is Zhao Jiyan, Chairman and Elder of PJEFC. I'd like to appreciate and thank you, all of you incredible volunteers of PJEFC. Whether you are behind the scenes or in the spotlight, your dedication and selfless service to PJEFC and to God's kingdom have been a true testament of your faith and commitment. You encourage me. Thank you for everything you do. Your sacrifices will not go unnoticed as we serve a God who sees. The church is truly grateful. Keep up the fantastic work and God bless.
All right, so as you can see at the end of the service, there'll be a few booths outside. So do have a look at what the different ministries are. You don't have to put your name down at every booth, but it's good to know what's going on and see how you can serve too. So just to summarize what serving is, there are many definitions. But basically what we want to remember is that we are following Jesus' footsteps in serving, and we are doing this nothing for our own gain, but truly out of compassion and obedience to God's commandments. Now, just now in the video, it said that 21% of people serve because of a sermon. So I'm going to try my best. If I take a bit longer, I'm sorry, I'm trying to earn my keep. All right, so today's outline is this. I feel like I don't really have to convince a lot of you on serving because I feel we do have a positive attitude towards service. But just in case, it's one of my points. Why do we serve? What are some ways to serve? Some challenges as we serve, as well as how to gear up for service. So just a passage to help us focus this morning is Matthew 20, verse 25 to 26. And this is our main inspiration for serving. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." A very familiar passage, and here it talks about how service is countercultural to the world that we live in. We live in the world where we want to be first, we want to be great, and we want to be served. But Jesus flips it around and asks us to be the very bottom, to be the one who serves others. So why do we serve? Do we really have to? I can think of two reasons why we do have to, just practically as well as spiritually. Practically, it's really we need to. We cannot do everything. Five pastors cannot pastor 500 people. And we see it in the Bible as well, when Moses was sitting from morning to evening, serving as a judge to the people and trying to, you know, manage conflict. And his wise father-in-law, Jethro, came up to him and said, "What you are doing is too heavy. You cannot do this, and you will only wear yourself out." So he got him to select other capable men, men who feared God, trustworthy, who hated dishonored gain, and appoint them as officials. And similarly, we see in the Acts of the Apostles, in the early church, when the number of disciples were growing. And so as the disciples grew, the needs also grew. And then a group of widows were being left out in the daily distribution. Because the widows didn't receive any inheritance, they had to rely on a relative. And I think the needs grew so large that the apostles didn't have time to both preach and pray and also give out food and distribute it to the widows. So while they realized that there was importance in meeting the needs of the widows, they found that they didn't want to give up preaching and prayer to meet those needs. So they choose 6-7 leaders to serve in this capacity. And this sounded like the early institution of like a social concern arm, like a food bank that Pastor James runs, getting people together to give out food together. And what was the result? The result was that the word of God spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number became obedient to the faith. So our lesson here is the importance of partnership between pastors, between leaders, between lay people and community to work together. Every part of the machine must play its part. So may the body of Christ function like a well-oiled machine, everyone stepping into their roles. A second reason is a spiritual one. It's because it's essential discipleship. The reason why this topic is part of DMN is because it's essential to our faith, and our faith requires it. The passage in James is one of the clearest passages that tells us how our actions must match our words. If we say that the church is important to growing our faith, then we must also play our part to building up the church. Edwin quoted this verse earlier in the pre-service prayer that we should be serving one another humbly in love. As the church grows, there are growing needs. As we grow in faith, we also try and meet those needs and serve each other humbly. How many of you were at the grand wedding last week? So few. Pastor Melissa's wedding, the grand wedding, wedding of the century. Yes. So last week, I saw a beautiful picture of what serving one another in love looks like. It felt like a dream, right? When you step in, it was like the decor team working together, the food being unpacked, the mantaos being steamed, ice cream being scooped out, people welcoming the guests, hosts at different tables, worship team leading the song, and I just felt like everyone was serving, but everyone was also being served. And with what joy everyone was serving. And sure, of course, every wedding is stressful and has its own source of tension when you're serving, but we will endure it for the joy of the wedding and the union. And I hope this is a picture of how we can serve regularly too. If we can do so much for a pastor that we love, how much more can we give, and how much more joyfully can we serve a God that we love? So maybe with joy and partnership, with one goal in mind, that we serve unto Him and we serve towards each other. May our why always be clear in our hearts. So yes, serving is essential discipleship. And if we think about submission, we think about the cross, dying to ourselves, giving up our rights. And we think about servanthood, we think about the towel and how we are to wash the feet of each other. So we're going to go to how we can serve. Now, when we say serve in a church context, we often say we have a duty in a certain ministry, right? So I'm serving today in Kopitiam or traffic or Sunday school. And all these are great ways to serve, and you can go and look at the booths once again to see if there are anything you can contribute to. But I also want to just kind of broaden our idea of what services we can offer. Jesus calls us to follow Him and follow Him in service. He washed the disciples' feet and asked us to do the same. It does not mean that we start a foot washing ministry, but that we embody that same attitude in everything that we do. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, talks about the discipline of service. And he lists down 9 different types of service. And he says here that service is not a list of things to do. But although in it we discover things to do, it's not a code of ethics, but it's a way of living. Now, we won't have time to go through everyone one by one, but I'll just kind of summarize it. If you want, you can go read the book. I haven't read it. next one. Service can sometimes be invisible. It can be hidden, and it could be small things as well. It's the changing of the light bulb, picking up a tissue on the floor, washing the used cup, and fixing something broken. I realize there's one department in church that's often unseen until something breaks down, until the aircon is creaking or the toilet cannot flush, right? The facilities team, poor things, they get more complaints than compliments. But their service is truly appreciated, even when it seems invisible to us. So if today you see anyone with a facilities thing on their back, just pat them on the back and say thank you for your unseen work, but thank you for sowing into God's kingdom too. Secondly, service can be how you make others feel, the service of common courtesy. In Titus, it says for us to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all men. Now, it may be easy for us to do in church where everyone is nice and smiley, but how about when we step out of church? How do we respond to the car that cuts into our lane? I heard this story some time ago where this lady, after her church service, she went to dabao her chicken rice. And as she was waiting, a car cut in front of her and almost kind of hit her. So she was very angry. She said, "This car, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind." So she stopped and then she got out of the car. And then she saw the person in the next car. And she said, "Madam Wong, just come back from church. Eat lunch already. So her whole demeanor changed and she switched back to kind and courteous mode. So yes, may we also employ that same courtesy when we are out on the streets, when we are speaking to waiters and our order is very slow, the way we turn down the credit card salesman or how we speak to our guards, may our demeanor also be a service unto them. Hospitality could mean inviting people into your house, hosting cell group, cooking a meal, and some of us this is more natural to us than others. But it also could be how you welcome people, how you listen to people, a posture of welcoming and love. We have a ministry called HUGS. Do you know that? HUGS stands for Hospitality Ushers, Greeters, and Security. They also are hospitality ministry. Actually, we also have traffic, but if we include the T, then they become thugs. So we'll stick to HUGS, okay? They're very friendly. They'll be outside later to see if you can talk to them. So they are the frontline ministry. When people come, they are the ones who welcome you. So they really showcase the temperature of how welcoming we are to other guests. So do check them out. All right. The third one is truly service or presence. Sometimes it's about listening. The greatest compliment you can give someone is to listen to them without interrupting. The average time it takes for someone to interrupt you when you're talking, any guesses? So far you haven't interrupted me, so you're doing really well. But it's supposed to be 17 seconds. So if you're talking for 17 seconds, people will start to interrupt you. Could be more or less. But yes, the gift of listening. To service or bearing the burdens of each other. The apostle knew that no man is an island, so he told the Christians in church to bear one another's burdens. And it's great if we are in a cell group where we can also share more intimately things that we are going through. I know one cell group who has been through a lot, the Kaya cell group, where their members have been through so much and they've really stood by them. We've been praying for Deaconess Jasmine for so many months when she was in hospital, ICU, and just really struggling, holding on to her life. And as she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, we truly saw her cell group and all of the church come alongside and pay service to them in different ways, whether it's through a prayer or being there or sending food or providing help. And I just want to give God the glory. She was discharged from hospital last week. She went home with Dihao. And one day we'll see them here again, testifying of God's grace. And truly bearing the burdens of each other is one way that we can serve. Sometimes presence is also just being there. At a funeral, you might not think that your presence makes a difference, but being there shows support to the person who has lost someone they love. So you may not need to say anything, but truly be there. We talked about the parenting talk, and we do need babysitters. Babysitting is a great way of service, of presence as well. Yesterday, my in-laws came over to watch the kids while Ken and I had to work. Great form of service. Thirdly, service of sharing the word of life with one another. Jesus said that when you give someone a cup of cold water, it's like you can be rewarded for it. And the greatest cold water, refreshing water that we can give someone is the Word of God. So if you have a word of encouragement from the Bible to share with someone, that is service. Or if we have benefited from something we learned at a retreat or a Bible course or just a devotion, do share that along with your community too. So as we follow how Jesus served, we realize that service is meant to be a lifestyle, an everyday thing, and not only on the days that we are on duty. Now I want to move on to challenges or pitfalls of service, because I feel like service is not always bright and shiny. We don't always carry that same passion week in, week out, and there are times that it gets difficult. And the first challenge I want to talk about is when service becomes hollow. We know the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. So Jesus entered a village. Mary and Martha welcomed them into the house, and her sister called Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So, a very familiar passage, and if I put myself in the story, I would also think I'm the Martha lah. I would be the one, you know, figuring out the food, trying not to burn the soup, and ensuring that the food gets to the table. So when I read this, I get a bit offended lah. I mean, Jesus, if we all sit at your feet, what are we going to eat, right? And I think it's not the work that is the problem, but the underlying worry that she had in her head. And I often find myself in this position of standing. I have a small family, right? Two kids. So when we have meals, we generally just sit on the island. So the island is a bit high, so the kids will sit here, Ken will sit wherever. And then I will kind of just be standing around the island so that I can see to the needs of the kids when they ask orange juice, tomato sauce, please cut smaller, whatever. So I'm standing and moving around, trying to meet the needs. And then Sophie is standing on her chair and trying to reach everything that is breakable. Until one day I realized that half my frustration is because I'm always standing and I haven't taken the time to sit down and to feed myself first. So I've since decided that we'll sit on the larger dining table where we can all sit down. And here we see a contrast of posture of standing and of sitting. Both are important. But Jesus says that one thing is essential, which is feeding on Christ. And the problem here was that Martha was distracted with serving and occupied with the worries in her head. Her focus was no longer on Jesus, but the many things that caused her to worry. Please hear me correctly. I'm not suggesting that we stop serving and then we sit down at Jesus' feet in silence, because if you take that point home, Pastor Alexa won't allow me to speak again. But I'd like to caution us against serving without sitting, that if we are standing, moving, jumping, sprinting, without pausing to receive from God, who is the very one that we are serving. So remember to sit before you stand. And even if, as a pastor, there are a few weeks where I'm running around trying to welcome people, get things for teachers, solve items, and there was a time that I was slightly burnt out and dry. And I realized that it had been weeks since I've really enjoyed worshiping in community, sitting and feeding on the Word of God. I had done the serving without the sitting. God is not interested in the sacrament of our own exhaustion. He's not watching us trying to see who is serving the most and who is the most tired. Martha will always be worrying about something, but Mary has chosen the better part. Could it be also a sign of a deeper problem if we believe that our sacrifice is the one that grows the ministry rather than Jesus? So what will this look like for us practically? It could be that if you're serving in Sunday school and you always miss the sermon, that you can look back and watch the sermon later or make sure that you're not on duty every week. Younger ones, if you are also helping in Sunday school, don't serve every week. Okay, make sure you also have time to listen to the sermon. And if you are the one to lead in ministry, in cell group, you're always the one giving, find a space where you can also receive, whether it's a prayer meeting, a smaller accountability group. As Malaysians, our common greeting is Sek Zau Fan Mei, have you eaten? We are always very preoccupied with whether people have eaten. But can we also be wondering if they have eaten their daily bread too, that we can give each other the permission to ask, have you eaten daily bread? Or find some not so awkward way to say it. And just like Pastor Jeremy shared last week, that nothing can replace a regular time and place for your daily devotion with God, sitting at His feet. So yeah, a reminder to us, servers, to sit before we stand. The second one may or may not apply to you. It's when service becomes a little bit self-righteous. In that we sometimes may find ourselves, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes to serve, or I'm the only one who can do this right and I want to be needed. In Galatians it says, for am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Who am I trying to please? If I was still trying to please men, I won't be a servant of Christ. And again in Matthew it talks about, don't do your charitable deeds to be seen by them, for you receive no reward from your Father. So the Bible is clear that we shouldn't be doing a service to glorify ourselves or to be admired. It's not to say we cannot accept compliments, but should always approach this with a posture of gratefulness, remembering that we are servants of God. And rather than bringing ourselves the glory, or rather than feeling that we are the ones to save the day. Small joke. After the service, a young man came up to the preacher and said, good sermon, Pastor. And the pastor, not wanting to take the credit, he said, oh, don't thank me, you know, give the glory to God. Somebody is trying to sign in. Impact you, PJFC. Sorry. Okay, joke, yeah. So, and then the pastor said, no, don't thank me, but give the glory to God. And then the young man turned to him and said, it wasn't that good, lah. Not good enough to be directly from God. Okay, now, so heart check, right? Who are we serving for? Is it for the Lord or is it for ourselves? So back again in the book, Celebration of Discipline, it talks about checking our heart. Whether we have the right heart to serve. And it contrasts what we call self-righteous service and true service. Now, there are a lot of comparison points. If you can look at the next slide, where on one hand, it comes through human effort, preoccupied with external results. And at the end of the day, that is what breaks up community, when yourself becomes, or your service becomes more important than the rest. In contrast, we have true service, which truly just comes from our relationship with God. So service is really a heart-shaping process in which God opens up our hearts, shows us where we may be selfish, and shows us how we can rely more on Him. So true service is for the approval of one. So whatever we do, whether big or small, whether front or behind the scenes, may we do it for God. And the third one is when service gets a little bit rocky. I met so many of us who are serving with joy and thriving at it, But there may be many of us also that we've come to the place where serving has become difficult. And it could be just because of life, you're trying to balance too many things, or you're going through something in your family as well. And it might be particularly true for those of us who are serving in leadership. So it could be a ministry where you find there's little fruit, or there's a conflict in your team, or it's just too much on your schedule, or you could be even disillusioned with the way that some things are. We will not be the first to experience these moments of frustration. We look at Moses and we think of a Moses moment in his service and ministry. In Numbers 11, Moses was hearing every family wailing at the entrance of the tents. And he says, "Why have you put the burden of all these people on me? I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." And even Moses had that time where he had this Moses moment of, "Why, Lord, do I have to do this? It is too much." So just a feeling of overwhelm that we may find ourselves in when we serve. And three things that we can do, sometimes easier said than done, to rest. It's okay. God's given answer for Elijah's Moses moment was to also rest. I'm not saying step down immediately, but take a moment to rest. If you need to take a break for a few weeks, if you need to take a short time off, it's not sinful. But do so with prayerful consideration, and do talk to your leaders, talk to the people you work with. Secondly, is to remember God's faithfulness, to remember how God brought us here and God called us to this, and just remembering how Jesus has been faithful through it all. And finally, it's truly to rely on God, to ask God for help, and to reach out to those in community. At the end of the day, when service gets rocky and we see little fruit, remember that faithfulness is our responsibility. Fruitfulness is God's responsibility. So we are not the ones to make the fruits grow, but we only sow in faithfully. So let's ask the Lord also what it means for us to be faithful in our situations. Final point. How we can gear up for service following the example of Jesus. If you're a bit tired, you can do some actions with me. The first step is to put on your aprons. If you can put on some imaginary aprons and tie it around. In Philippians 2, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or pride, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves." So in gearing up for service, we first put that on. When you wear the apron, you're not so afraid of getting dirty or getting oily, but you're more willing to serve and to get a bit dirty. Secondly, is to put on the mind of Christ, of single-minded obedience. When we look on the mind of Christ, it talks about Jesus humbling himself, being obedient to death, even death on the cross. In our initial service, everything may seem encouraging and invigorating. Jesus also received warm welcome from the crowds when he preached with wisdom and performed miracles. But he also received opposition and threats and even unto death. But he didn't stop because he had the mindset of being obedient unto death. I'm not suggesting we work ourselves to death, but we see how we can obediently die to ourselves when we see that our will is not our own, but is to be bent to God's will. So put on the mind of Christ and see how we can die to self. Thirdly, is this the mittens that we put on to steward by the Spirit. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful servants, stewards of God's grace. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. And at the end of the day, it's to God's glory. So it's a full reliance on the Spirit. It's easy to look at our own gifts and talents and serve in those areas only, but we also must be cautious not to over-rely on our skills, but continue to pray for the Spirit to enable you. Just like the seven chosen men, They helped with the distribution of food. Didn't say seven men who are skilled in accounting, procurement, and logistics. They said seven men full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. So whatever area we are called to serve, let us fully rely on God. There will be times where God will stretch us a little bit more and we'll be stretched beyond what our skill set is. And I want to give God the glory where it is due. Some of you may come up to me and say, you are such a natural speaker, like very effortless. And then I assure you that I'm not. Back in school, I was the mumbler. Like people cannot hear what I say, and then they have to say ha, ha, ha a few times. And my first job at networking events, I quite often wanted to hide under the table. And I prefer very much to be a follower rather than a leader. And I'll gladly blend into the background as wallflower. So the fact that I'm able to share today is truly the Spirit's enabling. And I remember one thing at my school leavers camp where one of the leaders took a rubber band and she stretched it and she said, allow God to stretch you. That was many years ago, and I think that's what I've sort of allowed God to do, to stretch me a little bit at a time, so that we know that it's not our own strength, but it's truly the Spirit of God. So as we think about service, let's not think about the boundaries of our natural skill sets, but also just consider how God may stretch us in areas and grow in our capacity. He's not a God who will call us to serve and then leave us to suffer. So I just want to give a final charge. If you have been serving faithfully and joyfully, thank you for being partners in God's kingdom. Today we celebrate you. Please go and enjoy some special snacks at the Kopitiam for those who have been serving. 2, if you feel like you've been serving but you feel a bit burdened or overwhelmed, you need a bit of a heart adjustment, we will pray for you today, but please do also reach out to your leaders to process things with them. If you have been on the sidelines just watching people serve, I encourage you to go and look at the booths or speak to someone and try and find an area of service. If you feel like health is a challenge and you cannot serve in the conventional way, just remember again that it's a way of being. There's this saying that we say, you preachers talk a lot about giving, but when you get right down to it, it's actually the Bayesian theology. What is the Bayesian theology? Are we like Pontius Pilate, where he just washed his hands off the guilt and said, this is not my problem? Or are we like Jesus, who took the Bayesian and washed the feet of others? I'm going to end here. And can I just get all those who have been serving in some way to stand up? I just want to pray a prayer of blessing upon you. If you're part of any ministry, hospitality, Sunday school, Impact Youth, CUG, CG, I can't name everything, but do stand. Don't shy, God knows. I'm quite sure there's more than this. But let's stretch out our hands and bless the ones who serve. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have given their time and love to serve you in different ways. Lord, we just pray that you'll give them continued joy and strength, that their security will continue to be in you, that they continue to follow in the example of Jesus. Whether they are young or old, we know that there are ways that we can contribute and build up the body of Christ. So we continue to worship you in this way, and we give all glory to you in Jesus' name. Shall we all stand as we just close in a short song?
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.